A lot of good things here about the works of God. And when we praise God about His works, we do an activity on earth, what people are doing in heaven. Some of our loved ones, Moses, as he experienced that first, Red Sea walk. People praising God forever. We join them, heaven and earth, doing the same thing. It's a wonderful privilege. And so the choir in heaven singing with the choir on earth. And it's loud, and it's joyful, and it's absolute truth. And it helps us get to know the Lord better when we do this. Psalm 111, like the rest of the Psalms, remains number one hit for the past 3,000 years in Heaven's songbook. So we're very privileged. And as the writer thought about God's greatness, he said, I praise God with all my heart. With all my heart, in the assembly and in the congregation. So a great thing about the Lord, when He invites us to know Him, He invites us to give our whole heart. He never says, in the Bible, I'll praise God with a little bit. I'll praise God with half my heart. I will praise God with all my heart. A chance to obey God. And notice it says in the assembly, or in the gathering of God's people. Most of the time in the Bible, when God is praised, He is praised in a group. Our own devotional life is very, very important. So we praise God, in our vehicles or in the shower or wherever you find yourself praising God. That's important. Your work praises God. But a big theme, the biggest theme in the Bible, and of course will be in eternity, is that we praise God together, something, the volume is up, hearts are united, even when a solo is given, hearts are, with Heather sang that song all by her lonesome, I would say, well, the Lord would say, that was great, nobody else, God blessed, but when you give your life to God, your voice are all to praise God. It's important to gather. That's the point. And Psalm 111 guy, he didn't say, I don't, put in our language, I don't go to church, I go to church when I can. I go to church based on my schedule. I schedule things, and my schedule gets the best of me. So I don't go to church. He didn't do that. I praise the Lord for His great works in the gathering of His assembly. Trying to recover that gem in the midst of the discipleship of God's people. So, like all good songs, Psalm 111 is to the Lord. It's about the Lord. And it mentions about 20 things, just to highlight a few things in the passage. Works of the Lord are great, studied by all. So we kind of, every inch of creation is an honor to God. His fingerprint is on it. We have a factor of trust, knowing His goodness. His righteousness endures forever. Think of the song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. So not only is God righteous, but He says, here, I'll share my goodness with you so you could have a real relationship with me. Pass on the good news of who I am that way. His righteousness endures forever. It's not just like for today. It's all the time. And then He is gracious and full of compassion. I've seen this in people's hearts. Self-oriented, which we would all be without God's help, becomes grateful, gracious, and full of compassion. Caring for the other guy and the other gal. That's the heart of Jesus. Jesus looked at the crowds and He was full of compassion. We often look at the crowds and say, what a mess. Or, there's the crowd, let's go the other way. Jesus looks at the crowds and is full of compassion. And so God can make us this way too. And then it says, God has given food to those who fear Him. Give the Lord credit for the three square meals, or if you're down to one meal a day, two meals, whatever your body can handle. Given by the Lord, okay, providing. God fed throughout the world about 6 500 million people very well. And in fact, he'd feed all 7.8 billion, no problem. There's enough food there if we would just share. Just a little stat to keep in mind. The average Pittsburgh Steeler eats a 3,000 calorie a day meal. Not one, several. 3,000 a day. So it's 1,000 for breakfast, 1,000 for lunch, 1,000 for supper. I don't know how many pieces of pizza that is. Somebody would know. But God has spread throughout the earth enough food that every man, woman, and child could have a 3,000 calorie diet, you know. And God says, He gives food to those who fear Him, and even food for our soul, given to those who fear God. Are you a well-fed Christian? Those who fear God are fed by God. Those who fear God are fed by God. God gives food to those who fear Him. Have you tasted and seen the Lord is good? You know, do you live not just by bread alone, but by every word of God? Well, if you fear Him, you're like a spiritual Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know. I got the strength because I got the right food. And if you don't fear God, you say, not. God didn't feed me. Capital M, capital E. And the Lord feeds those who fear Him. So He's faithful with that in verse 5. And then He has declared to His people the power of His works, given them the heritage of the nations. In other words, there's people coming to Christ and joining His family. The works of the Lord are true and just. We can rely on Him in that way. And then they stand fast forever. He has sent redemption. One of the greatest works of God, of course, is saving our soul from death. As a Christian like you, I see people, you know, hurting physically, and you want everybody to get better. And you pray for God's help, compassion, health, miracle, healing, all the above for everybody. And yet God does His greatest miracle is when somebody goes from not believing in Christ to believing in Christ. That's a miracle that all the angels in heaven, they just go, yeah, you know, they rejoice. And so He sent redemption. Your testimony, my testimony is, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was dead. Now I'm made alive with Christ. What a testimony. You're like Lazarus coming out of the grave. People say, you stunk before. Don't open that grave. He stinks. That's what King James says for Lazarus. But your life stunk without God. And then with God, now look at Him. You know, he's following the King of Kings. And then it says, God is holy and awesome is His name. Holy. So pure and no fault in Him. And then awesome. You know, in the Hebrew actually says more like fearful and dreadful. Awesome is a good word. We're glad for awesome, but we use awesome so much it kind of watered down the impact. You know, you go to Dairy Queen, you get a blizzard. That was awesome. And you say, well, what about the Lord? That was awesome. You're basically saying, you know, He impacts me as much as a blizzard does. It's like, okay. He gets me all juiced up for about 10 minutes. But that's not what the Bible means. Fearful and dreadful, like, oh, I'm going to bow down to Him, surrender to Him for my whole life, because He is great. Fearful not that I run from Him, but fearful that I bow to Him. That's His name. If you're not bound to Him in His heart, then He'll introduce you to Himself in a good way. And the fear of the Lord, the next verse, fear of the Lord, beginning of wisdom. And so His works are greater than we think. Going to go over a few of them with you here. We can live in grateful anticipation of all His good works. Can you picture a good meal the Lord serves you and I? His works. And let's say you went out to a simple restaurant, but it was really fantastic in food. And the first thing they bring you is the water. And it's created by God, of course. But this water in this restaurant, the best water in town, you say, oh, this is the best water I ever had. You're very thirsty. Then after that, the salad comes. And the salad, picked 5 minutes earlier from the garden out back at a restaurant. You say, whoa, this is fresh. This is fresh, even better than Subway, you know, fresh. Eat fresh and all this. But there it is. Thankful. You anticipate the next thing. When's the main course? Oh, Jesus, the Son of God, the main bread of life. And not only that, but heaven itself. You know, we as Christians, we really haven't experienced the main course yet of the great wonders of God. But we will. All of us, you know, within 50 years probably or less, the clock is ticking. Every once in a while I say, if your life is like a contest, a nine-inning contest, what inning are you at? What inning are you in this contest? Most folks in here, we're in the seventh inning, aren't we? There's about two innings left. Some of them are in the third inning. We're thankful for them. They got a lot to do yet. But we're in the seventh inning, taking the seventh inning stretch maybe. But the clock is ticking. My family, we have this thing at home. If they ask me to do something I don't like, I said, hey, the clock is ticking. I only got a couple innings left to live. I'm not gonna do that. It's my excuse. But it's to honor God. Okay. In that way, the banquet, grateful anticipation that He would bring us to Himself. And I'm gonna put a couple works, great works of God on the screen to rejoice in with you. Key ones in redemption, and then some from the Bible, and then some from the world of the creatures He has made. Right in this year, God has brought 2,500,000,000 people to Himself in salvation. At least that's what people at least profess Jesus is my Lord. That's a lot of people. Okay, a lot of people. In big countries coming to Christ, more than ever in even in communist China, more than ever in India, the U.S., by number more than ever, but not by percentage, but a lot of salvations. God's faithful in His great works, and that's something to praise. You and I have a part of that in our prayers, in our concern for other people. You know, even if we're a bad witness, someone said, even if your life is an example of what not to do, or they look at you and say, I don't think Jesus would be like that. But at least you're serving a purpose. You're like a stop sign. You know, stop. Don't live like that. Or you could be a green light. Go. This is how God really is. We can help a life, any life. So he brings 2,500,000,000 people to Himself. Give Him some credit the next time you're, you know, whining about something or whatever your heart is aching about that God cares about. Remember, His salvation is very good. That's each day He brings a lot of people to Jesus for the first time ever. First time ever, I turned to Christ. That could be you. You say, I went to church in the middle of July, end of July 2019. I just went from habit, or I didn't even want to be there. But then I thought, Jesus, the great wonders of His works, I can give my life to Him. I heard about His love, sung about who He is. Could be one of those people. Put your name on the list. I was one of the 130,000 there in July. And God totally surprised me with good news. And then the way He spreads His word, the Jesus film impacting many. These are just some works that are really fantastically good. And here's some Bible verses that emphasize His great works. Lord, You have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for You cast all my sins behind Your back. You forgave me, Lord, and every day I'm forgiven again. Contemporary song says, how often am I forgiven? The number of drops in the ocean. Okay, like the number of drops in the ocean. Pretty good line. God puts our sins behind his back. Son, your sins are forgiven. Daughter, your sins are forgiven. Jesus would say that to us because of what Christ did for us. Great work of God. And then, great is the Lord, most worthy of praise in the city of our God. Again, there's a gathering of people, not just in his devotional closet, but a gathering in of his people, and say, God is certainly worthy of praise. I've often wondered, you know, if like the whole town got together and said, let's just get together one time and sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And we praise God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it was like, oh, we all finally praise God in a manner worthy of him. I've often wondered, and I'm sure your soul has asked yourself the same question, why isn't every church in every town packed? Packed. The people can't even find a seat. Why? Because God is most worthy of praise. You'll say, well, that's not why people come to church. People come to church for themselves, you know. Well, maybe that's why they don't come. But if they come to praise God, oh, there will always be a good reason. He is most worthy of praise. And so, great work of God to know his characters like that. We could say with the song, voices of a million angels couldn't express our gratitude. Big deal, the church was packed. When a million angels praise God, we'll join them as his saved people. And then, a good one again, he is to be feared above all, shout with joy to the Lord, make his praise glorious. How terrifying are your works. The gaining again of respect for God, bowing before him. How does God's work help our walk with him? Helps us to obey him, because we do so out of love and respect. It helps us see the absolute truth in creation, so we trust the absolute truth of his word. You know, there's absolute truth in creation also. H2O is always water. Gravity always certain, you know, power to it. EMC equals MC squared means what you know it means. There and all kind. Some are saying, yeah. But the absolute truth in creation points to the absolute truth. Yeah, if God can make the world like that, his creation, he certainly can give us news like that. That's absolutely true for all time, and even more sure than heaven and earth. So, his works are terrifying. Give him honor. Helps our apologetic. That is, it helps us spread the word. Romans said, by looking at anything, people can know there is a God who's God. So you could take your neighbor to, you know, on a hike or to Niagara Falls, or just show them your pictures, you know. Keep it to like under 100 pictures of your vacation when you show it to them and say, this is, look at this Niagara Falls picture or this bird or whatever. And God will be telling them, I'm God, and I made all this. You'll be a good witness by seeing the works of God in all he made. And then, of course, his presence everywhere we go. And one part of the message, just what God has made in his, say, on the lighter side of things, the earth is full of, Lord, your creatures, and let every creature praise his holy name. National Geographic had a special, and they start off the special by saying, the earth is teeming with life. Teeming. In other words, there was critters all over the place. And they praise God, and all those creatures are of him. Okay? It's not just a nuisance groundhog digging up your house. God made even the groundhog. Okay? Earth is full of his creatures. And I wanted to put up a few of them. on the screen here to honor the Lord. By the way, my wife helped with this. She gets embarrassed. But she wanted me to put people pictures in there. And I said, no, we've had enough people pictures. And besides that, people love themselves enough. It's about time we look at what else he made, too. So here's some creatures. Beautiful insect, okay, that the Lord created. Reminds us of being born again. Caterpillar to butterfly. Also, did you know for every person in the world, there's about 10 billion insects? 10 billion. So somebody said, we're thankful insects aren't very smart because they would take over the world in about an hour if they decided to, right? That'd make a good fiction novel. Put it in the Tim LaHaye series of, Okay. But a lot of insects out there. And isn't God merciful that some are so beautiful? They help the crops grow. They don't bite us every day. Just once in a blue moon. And, you know, you're not attacked by 10 billion spiders every evening. Some nightmares will be that way. But it's not. They praise God. Every creature praises God. Then we have here, here's a big pigeon that my wife took a picture of, I think. Is that, that's not what it is. Okay. Birds, I know pigeons and robins, and that's it. But this beautiful creature God made, in the Bible, God actually names about 45 creatures from the ant. Behold the ant. We can learn a lot about hard work. And also the ostrich, mentioned in Job in a awkward moment when Job's heart was breaking and lost everything. God's trying to get his attention. He says, have you considered the ostrich? Okay, not, you don't want to say that to a broken heart, but God would say, hey, the ostrich, he laughs at his enemies. And they can't catch him. And Job, this is going to be the way I help you. You know, ultimately, your soul won't be caught. It'll be helped. And so, let every creature praise his holy name. This creature, it's good for him to stay away from us. Here is a joyful critter, you know, praising God for some reason. Loyalty, of course. Had a great picture of a kitten, loyalty in that one too. But this is a person, I say, not a person, but a creature. This expression, this is a preacher's joke. This is an expression when you go to worship and you realize you forgot the offering. No, that wouldn't be good. But this is a beautiful creature with looking at the world. King Kong living here. Okay, a cute panda from another good thing from China, you might say. Lamb, this is what we look like. Jesus holds the lambs close to his heart. Some, the Lord would become like this, take away the sin of the world. Pretty amazing. Some creatures I don't know anything about. Cute little bunny there. Fierce. Pit panther or Nittany lion. Creature. Jaguar. And this critter is actually at the petting zoo that the Lord created, and the kids get a big kick out of that. And I don't know if it's a paco or a llama. John Pellis knows, and he'll tell us afterwards. Bye. And this beautiful, handsome fellow, he is saying, an old saying, that's not a banana, that's my nose. Sorry. But what God has made in creation, giving honor to him, right? Honor to him. And most importantly, how he reaches out to our soul. Takes us to himself, some quotes by Charles Spurgeon in closing. That's not it. Have you experienced where he has delivered you? Haven't you passed through deep water supported by his divine presence? I mean, it certainly didn't feel like it when you were hurting. But afterwards you said, oh God, he was there. He carried me through. What love, what green pastures and still waters, goodness and mercy all the days of my life. Mercy's new every morning. This is the works of God on behalf of you and all his people. Hearts swell with joy to think of his faithfulness. Eyes sparkle with wonder when we read every word of God from his mouth. There's something good about reading the Bible and you say, this is absolute truth from the very words of God. They're God's word. Remember the day when your chains fell away? The Lord freed you. Again, that's motivation to say, thank you, God. It's motivation to say, this could be today. I was totally into sin in myself, and then I turned to Christ. He presented his love, his forgiveness, purpose. Strength is fantastic. His praise will never cease, for it rises from those who have been redeemed by the Lamb of God, Jesus. The deeper our troubles and sins have been, I like this one, the louder our praise and thanks to God. Remember, we were hellbound sinners. That's not there, but that's what we were. He has sustained us to this very hour. We still have time to praise him. So, to consider the great works of God. Oh, it's quite a museum he has. And they're all, they honor his name. And he says, look, even my children honor my name too. And consider the great works of God and serve him with gladness. Let's pray together. Lord, it's good to serve you because you create a universe where you shine in every molecule or massive mountain or every blade of grass, every weed, and in people who you love with an everlasting love. So might we stop and say, whoa, I think I'm going to praise God with my whole heart. And I think I'm going to do it with others because great is his works and great is the Lord. And so we praise him greatly with our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.